Devi and Kamyavan, we have only a few, and Rinda Devi and Rinda Kund. And then we have a guest speaker today. Mother Devi Shakti is going to come and to speak to you about Rinda Devi, especially in relationship to Rinda Kund in Nandagram.
Thank you. Tato bhagyam ke na niruchatam tat vinde namaste karanaravindam. Rasa bilaso vasati scha vrinda Vane tradisham gristaro jaseva
Rasa bilaso vasati scha vrinda Vipaya tamayva Nere namaste
Vinde namaste charna
slides. Only a few slides, but we can take darshan of Vrindadevi and Kamyavan and Vrindadevi and Vrindakund. This is Srimati Vrindadevi in the Radha Govinda Mandir in Kamyavan. So when Mother Devi Shakti comes, she'll give you some information on the history of the deity at Vrindakund. But I can give you a little information about this particular deity. It is said that after the time of Akbar, he was the ruler from Agra. His son's son, his name was Aurangzeb. He was the Mughal controller of India at that time. He was a great hater of the Hindus, and he took great pleasure in destroying temples, smashing deities, and persecuting Vaishnavas, as opposed to his grandfather, who was a great respecter of the Hindu culture. So it so happened, as the historic story goes, Aurangzeb was living at that time in Agra, in the Red Fort. So from that Red Fort, he could see, because Agra's about an hour from here, he could see across to the Vrindavan area. And he could see that there was a light burning. There was a huge pit on the top of the Radha Govindaji Mandir, full of ghee. I don't know how they exactly arranged it in the rainy season, but there was a ghee lamp burning from the roof of the Radha Govindaji Mandir. The Govindaji Mandir was four stories higher than we see it here in Vrindavan at the present time. So it was a monumental building. It was like a Renaissance, brilliant Renaissance architecture. It was the most prominent building in Vrindavan at the time. So he could see the light from Agra, and he became intensely envious of the fact that he could understand that a building that was manifesting such a glow must be more prominent and more dominant than his own Red Fort. So out of envy, he decided to break down the top floors of the Radha Govindaji Mandir. But it happened that at the time that he was making this decision, or speaking of this, there was one Rajput king was present from Rajasthan, and his name was Maharaj Jai Singh. So he was in Agra at that time, and he overheard the conversation. And so, because he was a great Vaishnava himself, Vaishnava king, he immediately left Agra and proceeded swiftly to Vrindavan to warn all the people of what was about to take place. So after he gave warning, all the pujaris, of course, were always very much afraid, because if any damage would be done to the deity could no longer be worshipped. So this was the Goswami's deity and the most famous and prominent deity in Vrindavan, Radha Govindaji. So this was to speak of the other deities also. So they loaded all the deities on carts, and they took them secretly from Vrindavan, and everybody fled from Vrindavan, so that when the Mughal soldiers, Muslim soldiers, came to destroy the temple, everything was already gone. The deities were safe. So the deities were first of all taken. Please come in, Mother Devi Shakti. The deities, first of all, were taken to Radhakund, and they stayed there for some time. Then they were proceeded on to Kamyavan. Kamyavan is the westernmost part of Raj, we saw on the map. And also Kamyavan is in Rajasthan already. So when they were in Kamyavan, when it became time for them to move on, because he wanted to take them all the way to safety, he could not lift up this Vrindadevi deity by any means. They couldn't lift the deity to proceed on the cart. So then they could understand that this deity did not want to leave the precincts of Rajamandal. So then the deity remained here. And then new deities of Radha Govinda were installed. A temple was built and the deities were installed. And so the Vrindadevi deity, she remains in Kamyavan. So this is, we can take a closer darshan of her. This is the history of this particular deity. She's very striking, but you can see that her mood is almost a little pensive and sad. So the inner mood of this particular deity is described as one of separation, because her natural position is to be in Vrindavan. So when Krishna left Vrindavan to go to Mathura, she had no function to perform anymore. Mother Devi Shakti will tell us some of the things that Vrindadevi does. But when Krishna was not present, she could not arrange for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna. So being therefore very distressed, she left Vrindavan. This is the inner mood connected with this particular deity. So her mood is one of separation. She's not in her natural position. She's in Kamyavan. She's not in Vrindavan. So when we... one more picture we have of this Vrindadevi deity. It has been explained, though, that she has... she's very merciful, and she plays a particular role in the lives of the devotees. That if you go there and pray to her for her mercy in Kamyavan, which is a Kamyavan, Kama means desires. And Kamyavan is the forest in which is the benediction is given that whatever one desires whilst living or visiting the forest of Kamyavan, those desires will be fulfilled by the arrangement of Krishna. So one can go and visit Vrindadevi in Kamyavan and can pray to her there, that just as you are in a mood of separation, you are feeling the absence of your service and the absence of your master. So you are feeling in this way. Similarly, I do not have access at this present time to the darshan of Krishna, nor do I have my realization of what is my eternal service to him. So please, just as you are feeling like this, I am feeling also the presence of anattas in my heart and lack of love for Radha and Krishna, and ineligibility to actually enter into the mysteries of Vrindavan Dham. So, because you are so prominent and dominant in Vrindavan, it is your forest, please help me in this condition. And it is, we are assured by the Acharyas that Vrindadevi will bestow her full mercy in this way. So we can, next. Now we move to Nandagram. Nandagram is within Vrindavan. So at this point I'm going to hand over to Mother Devi Shakti.
We have a seat up here for you. So Nandishwar is the capital of the Vrindavan forest. Narayan explains in the Gopal Tapani Upanishad that there are 12 forests, and the 12th one belonging to Lord Krishna is Vrindavan, which Vrindadevi is in charge of. Srimati Radharani turned Vrindavan over to Vrindadevi. And as Krishna lives here at Nandishwar, just to the west of Nandishwar, a half kilometer down the hill, is Vrindakund, and that's the residence of Srimati Vrindadevi. In Bhakti Ratnakara, it's described that Vrindadevi is residing there and meditating how she can bring together Radha and Krishna in their pastimes. And in her meditation and her making the arrangements daily, she's floating in happiness. So if there's more, you can see. What happens is, when Radharani comes daily to Nandishwar, she goes to Pavan Sarovar and cooks in the morning. So then, from Nandishwar, from Nandagram, she's brought by Dinishta, who's one of the maidservants at Nandagram in the palace, secretly to Guptakund, which is the twin kund by Vrindakund. And there, for the first time, is the meeting place of Radha and Krishna. So this first meeting place at Vrindakund and specifically Guptakund is the first yogpith in the Delhi pastimes. And there, Vrindadevi with her assistant, Viradevi, have made all arrangements for Radha and Krishna to secretly meet. And not only their meeting together, but all of the associates in Radharani's camp meet here. This is Vrindakund, the front kund where Vrindadevi resides, and behind the temple is Guptakund. This is backwards. Mm-hmm. The Chokrati.
At least it's not upside down.
At least. Right. So in the back of the temple is the hidden kund where Vrindadevi's temple commander Viradevi has arranged for Radha and Krishna to meet secretly in Ashokananda Kunj. And then after they enjoy their secret pastimes, Radha and Govinda are seated together on a singhasan, and the eight principal gopis, surrounded by the manjaris and then the upamanjaris and all the associates of Radha and Krishna. And see there are surrounding Radha Govinda in their lotus of pastimes. And there are four gates, doors, guarding this yog pit. And Vrindadevi, just as she's seated here to the east of Guptakund, she's seated there in the yog pit as the eastern doorkeeper. And then the other messengers, Vrindarika, Murali, and I forget the fourth name, but I have it written down here, they guard the other four doors so that only the most confidential associates of Radha and Krishna are allowed entrance into this pastime at the yog pit. So there is the exact place where Vrindadevi is seated also in her pastime and also where her temple is. In the morning time is when this pastime takes place, and then from there Vrindadevi and Purnamasi and Nandimukhi, they discuss, sometimes Krishna gives his opinion, sometimes Radharani gives hers, they plan out the daily pastimes for the day, where the rendezvous will take place and who's going to make the arrangement, and who will be there. And Vrindadevi personally sees, oversees which living entities, which flowers, which vines, which trees, which birds, the bees. Every detail of the pastimes are prearranged by Vrindadevi, and she sends her instructions through her messenger network. You'll see on her hand is covered, well, you can... No, you can't see in this picture, but in her left hand is seated a parrot, and that parrot's name is Daksha. And Daksha is the guru of 1 lakh parrots. So Vrindadevi gives the instructions to Daksha, and Daksha then passes on through his disciples, who then pass all the messages throughout Vraj, what's going to go on for that day. Then she also has her Vandevis and her other messengers, which some of the names are given in Radha Krishna Ganadesh Deepika. You'll see in the bottom here, it's very important that we understand, that's okay, that Vrindadevi, one of her expansions being Tulsi Devi, is the consort of all of the forms of Vishnu. Lord Krishna will not accept any offering without the presence of Vrindadevi in the form of Tulsi Devi. So we can understand from that Vrindadevi is present, and her presence is absolutely central in all of Krishna's activities and every offering that we make to him. So she is the eternal consort of the Lord. She's so dear to Srimati Radharani that Radharani gifted this entire forest where the most confidential pastimes in Braj take place to Srimati Vrindadevi. Her whole existence is simply how to please the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. Any more pictures?
You have one more, I think. Do you have one more? That's it.
Her bodily form is described. She's golden in complexion. She wears blue dress with pearls and ornaments. She's very beautiful. And she has many names that describe her different pastimes. Vrinda, Vrindarika, Tulsi, Pushpasara, she's the essence of all flowers, the essence of all offerings. So if you can turn the lights on, I can read some things about her.
Yes.
I guess we don't need the pictures.
You can show them if you want to. Mm-hmm. Pass them.
Yeah, we can. It's an older picture. These are the. At the place of Vrindakund. Original murtis were being worshipped, Radha and Krishna murtis, that were installed by Lord Krishna's great-grandson. So these are the original murtis, and they were since then disfigured by the Muslims. They're still there, if anyone would like to take darshan of them. Here we have a very sweet picture of the parrot nests in the tree over Vrinda Devi's temple. These birds are very active, and they let everyone know if anyone comes to visit. You can hear them spreading the word. Here's a picture of Jagatarini painting Vrinda Devi. And these are the shilas that are worshipped with Vrinda Devi there. I just have one little prose to read, and in that is it's more or less a collection of everything that I could find describing Vrinda Devi's service, condensed. Vrinda Devi is the protectress of Vrindavan, appointed by Srimati Radharani. She always remains in Vrindavan, immersed in love for Radha and Krishna. Yearning to arrange their meeting and taste the nectar of assisting in their pastimes, she creates a festive atmosphere for them to enjoy with their friends. Lord Krishna eternally enjoys pastimes with his beloved in her forest. Radha and Krishna become overjoyed when they see the arrangements made by Vrinda Devi. By her order, the groves of Vrindavan appear very splendid and decorated with flowers, bumblebees, deer, and other auspicious animals and birds. She is the guardian of all moving and non-moving beings in Vrindavan. Everyone in Vrindavan performs their respective services according to her desire. In fact, just to fulfill the desires of Vrinda Devi, Sri Krishna enjoys his pastimes. She bestows devotional service and eternal residence in Vrindavan. She and her followers assist the divine couple in their pastimes in Vrindavan. According to her instructions, millions of maidservants fan Radha and Krishna. Parrots and cuckoos sing their glories. Bumblebees hum and peacocks dance. She expertly arranges every grove and garden and the best places for their rendezvous. During the rasa dance, she introduces wonderful musical instruments unknown to the shastras. Radha and Krishna, absorbed in the mellows produced by the music, joyfully begin to dance. After their dancing, they bathe, and Vrinda Devi arranges to dress them in forest clothing. She decorates them with fragrant flowers, green leaves, and all kinds of other ornaments. As Krishna's most important gopi messenger and Lila Shakti, she brings about the perfection of Radha Krishna's amorous sports. She expertly delivers Krishna's messages, speaking sweet and flattering words. She is learned in the science of gardening and knows every detail of the geography of Vrindavan. Her effulgent complexion, lustrous as molten gold, is beautified by a gentle smile on her lips and a pearl at the tip of her nose. She is decorated with blue garments, colorful jewels, ornaments, and flowers. Resting on her hand is Daksha, guru of 1 lakh parrot messengers who deliver her orders. Vrinda Devi happily contemplates the meeting of Radha and Krishna in a secluded spot, a little distance from Nandagaon at her residence, Vrindakund. At nearby Guptakund, Radha and Krishna meet secretly for the first time each morning. From there, a yogpith of divine lila, the daily pastimes of Raja unfold. For those of us who have no entrance into the sublime mellows of Vrindavan Lila, we can at least visit these holy places, appreciate their beauty, and pray for Prabhupada's causeless mercy. How else can we ever qualify to serve in Vrindadevi's kingdom, Sri Vrindavan Dham?
Thank you.
Yes.
I'm still trying to
oh, everything. Yeah, sure.
Could you give us a description of what's going on there?
Yes, what's happening is right now the Seva Puja is being done by the ISKCON devotees. Narada Muni has been living there for over a month now. And we now have three rooms available for devotees to stay in. Right now it's not safe for ladies to stay there, but the ladies can stay in a room we have at Nandagram. So men are staying there, two, three, four, you know, we even have the bullock cart group staying there. Then what we plan to do is make a beautiful small temple for Vrindadevi. And then at Guptakund, since we've discovered the, we have scriptural description of what Guptakund looks like in the Vrindavan Lila, so our plan is just to recreate that, the gardens, and then if possible have a Yogpith Mandir there with all of the gopis and manjaris in their respective places at their different directions, and Radha and Krishna in the center. So that's what the plan is, depending upon how much devotees help.
In Guptakund or?
At Guptakund, yeah.
Within the Kund?
Yeah, yeah. The plan is that from the staircase there'll be a walkway, and then the lotus temple will be in the center.
Mm. Small or something very large?
No, small. Just so you can go in and...
You planning to make the Kunds any bigger?
No.
Excavate them or put
no.
steps?
No, we'll put steps all around. Not all around, but the two ghats that are there now. And then deepen it so it can be used for bathing better, because now it's a little...
muddy.
Yeah. And mostly just have gardens everywhere, just as it is in the past times. We have enough Lakshmi to get land, so we're going to get another 3 acres around. And then roll that in, and just gardens. That's all kunjas.
That's nice.
So Radha Krishna are going to be the original ladies that you've been working on the
so. No, they can't be because they've been disfigured. So the villagers, they still come and bathe them on Mondays, but they're not worshipped in a temple. Unless we can reface them, but... technically, you're not supposed to worship deities who have been disfigured like that. So they're just kept there in respect. Anything else? You're all invited to come there? Okay. One at a time, we're all together?
We're all coming.
Oh, when?
Next Sunday.
Oh, wonderful. All right.
We're all coming to Vrindakund. We were supposed to go this Sunday, but I thought if we went this Sunday that just passed, you'd
just
hear everything.
Just your class?
Yeah. No, the whole VIHE is coming.
Oh, VIHE. Very nice.
Okay. Most of these devotees are doing VIHE, so we'll all be there.
Oh, okay. So we can sing Vrindadevi Ashtaka then?
Yeah. We sang it already before you came.
Oh, so. I missed it. Sorry.
We hear, theoretically hear now, and then we'll practically see. Take Vrindadevi's darshan and see Vrindakund.
Both Kamavant and Vrindavan are claiming to be the real place for Vrindadevi. What is the truth about it?
No, Kamavant's not, Dadu.
But they claim to be.
No, they claim that it's the original deity. But they can't claim. They may claim, but it's a mistake. Because Vrindavan is named after Vrindadevi.
Vrindakund is the real.
So Vrindakund is within Vrindavan. But the deity... there is a past time that the deity went to Kamyavan, so the deity is being worshipped there with Radha Govinda. But the eternal residence of Vrindadevi must be within Vrindavan. Her service goes on within Vrindavan.
There is also dispute about it. The deity from there to be the Vrindadevi. Some say it is...
not the original.
No, it's the
Yes, yes. But as far as I understand, it is being, the mood is that it's being worshipped there as Vrindadevi, so if someone is worshipping there, Vrindadevi is accepting that worship. If you're approaching her, there she's accepting that worship. I don't want to comment further on that because it becomes confusing. So we have been given a certain mood which we can approach Vrindadevi and Kamyavan that is valuable for us, and we can also approach Vrindadevi in Nandagram that is valuable for us. So it is generally recommended that we pray in that way. Kamyavan is a place where all your desires will be fulfilled. So if you go there and pray, surely Vrindadevi will hear you.
The place that you visited, that is all.
Yes, because it is helpful for our sadhana and bhajan for a certain purpose. But then, when we have some appreciation, we can go and appreciate Vrindadevi's pastimes in Nandagram Vrindavan.
You're going there next Sunday?
Yes, you're coming.
Well, if I find a place in there.
If there's a feast.
Then we have to have a feast.
No escape.
Ladus. You want some ladus? Ladus for dadu. We will certainly make a place for you. Then you can wander off to Nandagram if you want. So I was. No dadus.
No.
Bananas.
You should not hurry over. You should allow some extra time to reach the trunk.
All right, dadu. Whatever you want, we will do.
No, I want this general convenience for all.
I have a few little things I can bring from there. Thank you very much, Mother Dev Shakti, for just coming and telling us all about Rindakund and Vrindadevi and her eternal service to Radha and Krishna. So there is a little more information here about Vrindadevi, or we may be repeating something that Mother Devi Shakti has just told us. The word Van means forest. Vrindavan is the name given to the forest where Srimati Vrindadevi, Tulsi Devi, grows profusely. Another name of Tulsi is Vrindadevi, or one who awards residence in Vrindavan. Srila Narottam Das Thakur says, Kripa Kori Koro Tare Vrindavana Vasi. Dear Tulsi Devi, please bestow your mercy upon me so that I may forever reside in Vrindavan. The Vrindavan forest is named after Vrindadevi, who performed penance here for 60,000 years. So then there is a story that describes the appearance of Vrindadevi, and it says that there is a boon granted to her by Lord Vishnu that any penance performed will quickly fructify and bear excellent results. So later Tulsi Devi performed penance here and obtained perfection. So her other name, Tulsi Devi's name, is Vrindadevi. So Tulsi is very dear to Sri Krishna, as we heard. There are so many places where the glories of Tulsi Devi are enumerated in the Shastra. In the Padma Purana, there are 30 chapters describing Tulsi Devi's appearance. Her glorious attributes are recounted throughout the Vedic literatures. Just by looking at Tulsi, all of one's sins are removed. Just by touching her, one's body becomes purified. All diseases are removed by praying to her. fear of death is destroyed by watering her. So these are very interesting benedictions. When we walk around Tulsi Devi every day, when we do our worship, we say that even that we can become free of the sin of killing a Brahmin just by step, just by walking. So what an amazing sadhana opportunity. You just have to walk around her. You don't have to do anything else. You don't have to give a lot of money. You don't have to be very intelligent. You don't have to practice any austerities. You just walk around her and you'll get this huge benediction. So these are some specific items. Just by planting or transplanting her, one achieves realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if someone offers her leaves at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, Tulsi will award liberation and devotion to Lord Sri Krishna. So she becomes so pleased by a person. Of course, we can say, well, we do these things, why don't we perceive these results? So we can also understand that some quality is required on our behalf to be able to perceive the results. But even if we're doing them unconsciously, we're receiving results. Just as we were reading recently that association of devotees, meeting of a sadhu, comes about by the result of unconscious service to a sadhu. So now, sometimes our activities are done unconsciously. We're there, but we're mechanically doing everything without actually being aware. So that's one form of agyata sukriti. One is that, you know, we know the commonly used example in ISKCON is that you sell a painting to somebody or something like that. They don't know who you are. They give some money, you take that money. They don't have any idea that they're dealing with a devotee, but they're benefited because you've taken that money from them and used it on their behalf. But it's also agyata, unconscious, when we don't know who we are. We're just walking around, mind is going here, mind is going there, thinking about all the things we're going to do today, walking around Tulsi Devi at the same time. For that unconscious service, so much benefit is achieved. But to perceive the results, one has to become conscious. Sri Krishna is very fond of Tulsi, who is also called Maharani. The Supreme Lord does not accept anyone's worship without Tulsi Devi. The process of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with a vow before the Tulsi plant has such a strong spiritual potency that simply by doing this one can become spiritually strong. So we know already, we have heard perhaps the glories of Tulsi Devi, but the glories of Vrinda Devi are even more intimate, and we may not have been so much acquainted with her without coming to Vrindavan. So since we are all here, we should particularly meditate on the significance of Vrinda Devi and how she can help us. Krishna's attractive features are also described by Vrinda, the gopi after whom Vrindavan was named. Vrinda Devi is an expansion of Srimati Radharani, and her partial expansion is Tulsi in Vaikuntha. Vrinda Devi is a very intimate associate and girlfriend of Srimati Radharani. Krishna expands as Narayan to marry Tulsi in one of his pastimes. So it is said that by taking the darshan of Vrinda Devi, the mercy of Vrinda Devi, we can make a lot of advancement. Vrindavan is completely under Vrinda Devi's grace. Without the mercy of Vrinda Devi, it is not possible to enter into the confidential pastimes of Radha and Krishna, not even as a listener in an audience. What to speak of to actually enter into the pastimes, even to hear the pastimes, cannot be possible without the mercy of Vrinda Devi. By the mercy of Vrinda Devi, even the impossible can become possible. And even being allowed to enter Sri Braj Mandal indicates that one has received the grace of Vrinda Devi. So the very fact that we are allowed to be here indicates that Vrinda Devi has given her sanction. So we see now by Srila Prabhupada's arrangement, by the arrangement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that all over the world devotees are worshipping Tulsi Devi. Before Srila Prabhupada went to the West, only in India And perhaps a few Indian families here and there may have been worshipping Tulsi Devi outside of India, but by and large, only in India, the glories of Rinda Devi, Tulsi Devi, were known. But now, by the divine arrangement, all over the world, people are praying to Rinda Devi, praying to Tulsi Devi, and therefore we see more and more how popular Vrindavan is becoming. And people are coming from every country with a desire to understand more the glories of Vrindavan. So where are they getting this blessing by Rinda Devi? From their worship of Tulsi Devi. We see, if we study the English translation of the prayer that we sing every morning to Tulsi Devi, it is very profound. It is, factually speaking, one of the most advanced prayers that we say in all of our sadhana. So even the beginning, newest devotee prays like that, sings every morning Tulsi Arti. Please make me a resident of Vrindavan. I wish to see the pastimes of Radha and Krishna in the pleasure groves of Sri Vrindavan Dham. Please make me a maidservant and follower of the gopis. Please give me the privilege of devotional service. So many prayers are there, so they are offered with agyata, without proper understanding. But when, by the continuation of doing that, it fructifies into a conscious desire, then we find ourselves very anxious to come to Vrindavan. So we have so many people here who have had that experience, and they're now here with us. There's one story about how Srimati Radharani was so pleased with Vrindadevi that she arranged for a marriage between Krishna and Vrindadevi. It says that, appreciating Vrindadevi's kindness in making so many arrangements for her loving pastimes with Krishna, Srimati Radhika once summoned Lalita Shakhi and Vashaka and made a plan to reciprocate with Vrinda. Radha and her friends fashioned a beautiful throne big enough for two people to sit on. Vishaka then sat Krishna beside Vrindadevi, and playing the role of a priest, Lalita Sakhi began chanting the mantras for invoking a marriage. Sri Radha personally exchanged the flower garlands between Krishna and Vrindadevi, and so this wonderful wedding ceremony was performed. So this is interesting, because it shows, you see, when Krishna was saying that I can take taxes at Dan Gati and at Sankari Kaur because Vrindadevi is my wife. So actually he wasn't telling a lie. It is recorded here. So, but Vrindadevi always denies it. But this was just a game. She had no knowledge of what was taking place. And she would never marry a boy like that. He's so blackish and tells lies all the time. Right, Dadu? Can't be trusted. So this is the glories of Vrindavan Dham under the divine arrangement of Srimati Vrindadevi. So we can just read before we finish the Vrindadevi Astakam in English, page 56. You are bathed by streams of splendor that rebuke gold, lightning, and the champak flower. Your splendid garments are the friend of the Banduka flower. O Vrinda, I bow to your lotus feet. Your face is splendid with a pearl decorating the tip of your nose and a wonderful gentle smile on your bimba fruit lips. You are decorated with wonderful jeweled ornaments. O Vrinda, and other wonderful things. O Vrinda, I bow to your lotus feet. So it also said that Veera and Vrinda are mentioned. They are both called duties or messengers. So Veera, her nature is such that she speaks very harshly. When she wants to get something done, she speaks very strongly. And Vrinda Devi speaks very sweetly. But they work together to somehow arrange that everything should be decorated properly, and then that Radha and Krishna can be brought to the same place and to meet. So they have to do so many clever things, because sometimes Jyotila will come, or sometimes Chandravali will come, who's the competitor of Srimati Radharani, who's trying to get, she has her friends who are trying to call Krishna, you come, And she has her place, just as Radharani goes to Radhakund, and she likes to meet Krishna at Radhakund and Shyamakund, Chandravali has her place called Gaurikund, where she worships Gauri Devi, which is Parvati. So she's always trying with her friends called Padma and Saibya, and they're very expert also. But they're not as expert as the friends of Srimati Radharani. And sometimes Tulsi Manjari and Rupa Manjari, these are the two prominent maidservants of Srimati Radharani, they'll go to Gaurikund when they know that somehow Krishna has been led there by some arrangement. And they come and they say, "We're just coming from Nandagram. We're sorry to interrupt, but there's a terrible disaster taking place and Nanda Maharaj is calling you. A big demon has entered into Vrindavan and is just near Govardhan Hill and he's creating so much disturbance and so many cows are getting killed. So Nanda Maharaj has said that you should immediately go there and kill this demon." So Saibya and Padma look at each other. They don't exactly believe it. But Krishna says, "Oh, I have to go. Oh, I'll be back. Don't worry, I'll be back. I'll be back very, very soon." Don't. And Chandravali, because her nature is to be more tolerant, as whereas Srimati Radharani, she is naturally intolerant. So Chandravali can't say very much. She passively says, "Very well," and makes some statement to note her displeasure at this arrangement. And Krishna excuses himself very quickly and heads very swiftly for, under the care of Rupa Manjari and Rati Manjari, heads quickly towards Radhakund to meet up with Srimati Radharani. So these pastimes, Vrindadevi is always active. She's going here and there, working out how, in conjunction with Purnamasi, who is Yogamaya, who we'll hear something about tomorrow, they're busy trying to arrange how to bring Radharani to this grove, how to tell Krishna to go this way, to meet here, so many things. And meanwhile, Jyotila and Kotila are out looking. Where is our daughter-in-law? Why is she gone? It's time for her to be worshipping the sun god. She's late. Go have a look for her. And then Purnamasi will quickly interject somehow or other to intervene so that Jyotila and Kotila don't cause undue interference. But many times, just as Radha and Krishna are about to meet, Jyotila bursts in and says, "What are you doing here?" to Krishna. "Why are you coming here and bothering my daughter-in-law? Come with me." And she takes Radharani. Very sadly, Radharani has to leave that place. So these are the very pleasing pastimes that go on in Vrindavan. And Srila Rupa Goswami has written two wonderful plays that are referred to in Chaitanya Chaitamrita, Vaidagta Madhava and Lalita Madhava. And in both of those plays, he gives some little glimpses of these wonderful leelas. So Vrindadevi plays a very prominent role in the Vrindavan Leela in both of those particular plays. "Because you became their messenger, the eager and youthful divine couple enjoy the perfection of transcendental pastimes in the forest. O Vrinda, I bow to your lotus feet. By your mercy, the people attain residence in Vrindavan. The desire to serve your master's lotus feet and the desire to assist in the rasa dance. So it's by her mercy that we can have these desires. We can desire to have residence in Vrindavan by her grace. We can desire to serve Radha and Krishna's lotus feet by her mercy. And we can desire to assist in the rasa dance by her mercy. O Vrinda, I bow to your lotus feet. They who are learned in the Sattvata Tantra glorify you. You are Krishna's pastime potency. The Tulsi plant is your form in the world of men. O Vrinda, I bow to your lotus feet. O Vrinda, we are unfortunately bereft of devotional service, and due to committing hundreds and thousands of offenses, we have been cast deeply into the ocean of material existence." So this one is for us. The other is a little high, but this one is pointed to in our direction. "We are being tossed about by the terrible waves of lust, anger, greed, and so forth. O most merciful one, our souls are surrendered unto you, and we offer our most respectful obeisances unto your divinely beautiful lotus feet." So now, as usual, with an astakam, We hear what the benedictions are for one who chants this asked to come with devotion. Whoever hears and recites these eight prayers in glorification of Srimati Vrindadevi becomes just like a bumblebee that is always anxious to taste the sweet nectarine lotus feet of the divine couple. Such a person verily attains eternal residence in Vrindavan. Having finally achieved the supreme goal of life, one thus remains situated in the ecstatic loving service of the divine couple Sri Sri Radha Madhava by the mercy of Srimati Vrindadevi. So we'll have to stop here and make our way to the temple so we won't be late tonight for the evening aarti. Any short questions? Dadu?
No.
Okay.
If someone is in the mode of separation, would they be covered from changing the daily news? It seems like if they saw the daily news, then they would think, well, Krishna's here and they didn't have the news. I don't understand how. And you said the other
Vrindadevi.
Yeah,
no, famous. That's when Krishna leaves Vrindavan. You also can read this in Rupa Goswami writes about this in his play Lalita Madhava, that when Krishna leaves Vrindavan, Vrindadevi doesn't know what to do anymore because her function, her existence is to bring them together. So she also leaves Vrindavan. So that's the inner mood of that deity. The external function activity is that the deity was taken there, but the mood of that particular deity and the word, and the, according to the Goswamis, is like that. So she's in separation mood there. She's not seeing, she's not performing her pastimes. So we have been encouraged that if you go there and you pray to her there, that I'm also not experiencing, I have all these of these offenses and anartas. She can remove the effect of anartas if you pray to her in that place. That is what has been described to us. And when the effect of anartas is removed from our heart, then we have a more positive perspective, then we can go to Nandagram and happily hear. So there's a benefit to both places. There's a particular benediction from both of those deities. Just like it's like that, so many different deities, if you find out what is the mood of this deity, what can they give, then you know how to approach them. And you approach them in that mood, then you will feel the reciprocation of the deity in that way. So that is the mood with which one can approach in Kamyavan. And in Vrindakund, one just feels quite happy because it's such a beautiful place. You can feel the atmosphere and you hear the stories and you can see, and you think, when you hear the stories, and this is very nice, it would be nice to hear more of these pastimes. Does that make it clear? Or have I not misunderstood your question?
It's clear, but I just thought that a lot of great Vaishnavas that are aligned, they're in this new separation. And they're trying to see Krishna, they say, where's Krishna? So,
but as far as I understand, it's not only separation. It means sometimes they're feeling, just like Srila Rupa Goswami was at Tirukadamba, so he was writing there under the tree. And the tree, when he was writing something in the mood of separation, the tree would lose all its leaves, like tears, all the leaves would fall off the tree. Then when he wrote something about the meeting of Radha and Krishna, the tree would sprout new leaves. So there, both things are there, but it is said that for the sadhak, or the person who's practicing Krishna consciousness, separation mood is very favorable, because we are separate now. But if we're only forever separate, it becomes a little difficult. So sometimes we feel also the proximity, even in on our own level of practicing, sometimes we feel very hopeful, and very enthusiastic in our Krishna consciousness, and sometimes we're led to feel that we're very fallen and we have a long way to go. So both of these moods, they harmonize with each other. So, but predominant, they showed the example of feeling separation. But within that separation was also something unique that we can't understand at our stage. Any other? That was a very nice point.
It's like Krishna arranges his chandravali
somebody. Looks like that. We tend to think like that. Now there are only so, but there is only so small. There's not very much written down, so we're just getting a little glimpse. So we can't really properly understand these pastimes. We can, in a joking way, joke like that, but actually, this is a very deep subject that we can't understand by reading a few books. Actually, what has to happen is by our advancement in our sadhana, we can perceive, this is what the Goswamis describe, something within the heart comes by progress in devotional line. Then one can have some intuitive, or whatever you say, some understanding, realization. But we read what is there and we try and we pray to these pastimes that they may manifest within our heart. But it seems like that, but Chandravali, if we understand it philosophically, she's an expansion of Srimati Radharani herself. So her role is also to facilitate the pleasure of Radha and Krishna. If there's no impediments, if you get something very easily, you know, you don't take it as very valuable. But if you have to work very hard to get something and so many obstacles have to be overcome, then you consider that thing very, very, you know, easy come, easy go, they say, you know. So you consider it very valuable. So in order to heighten the beauty and the intensity of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, these different personalities come and they create some obstruction. They're just about to meet and something happens and then again they have to try and it increases the taste. So Chandravali, if you look at it from the philosophical point of view, she's performing that particular function for the pleasure of Sri Krishna. So she gets what she's meant to get. Right? Anything else? Yes.
Would it be proper to, when someone first came to Vrindavan, to go and pray to Vrindadevi for entrance into, you know, usually we just come here and, you know, pay in the room and get the material. What would be the ideal way to come to Vrindavan? I know you're supposed to roll the dust when you first come. But in terms of these deities, like you have Vrindadevi first. So.
Well, for us, I would guess that the ideal way would be first go to the Prabhupada Samadhi and pray to him that, you know, I wish to actually enter into some deeper understanding of what is Vrindavan Dham. And then we would take darshan of Radhashyama Sunda, Krishna Balaram, Shishi Gaunatai, because these are the deities that he has established for our worship. And then after that, these personalities, or whilst even approaching Srila Prabhupada, they could be also meditated upon if you have some understanding of their position at the same time. But then it's appropriate that during the time that you're here in Vrindavan, you should take their darshan. If you can, you should try to go out, as well as a hearing. So therefore the VIHE, the first year we did the VIHE, there were no prakrams, it was just only the courses. And it was Kartik, and at the same time that the courses were going on here, the Brajmandal prakrama was going on outside. And I even remember one joke that Lokanath Maharaj made, because there's a place called Padmakund at Kumudvan, which is the smallest of all the 12 forests. And it said that anyone, it's this place of Kapiladev, Ganga Sagar in Braj. So it said that anyone who bathes in Padmakund, all the knowledge of the Vedas automatically becomes revealed within their heart. So Lokanath Maharaj and all of the Brajmandal Prakrama devotees were all bathing away and saying, and all those devotees in the VIHE working so hard and here we are. So I don't know if it's quite like that, but after that time we had prakrams as well. So we got the best of both, but the prakramas are very, very important to go to these places. Another important person that we will hear a little bit about perhaps is Gopishwar Mahadev. He says in other places, without worshipping Lord Shiva in this form. So like Gaudiya Vaishnavas who know the culture, they do go to these places as soon as they arrive. But now, for us, I think it's not practical to... you recommend that to everyone, but those who have some knowledge, they just pursue your own realization. And these personalities are very important. Anything else? All right. Evening, Aarti.